Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Good morning, everyone. What a great time we're going to have together today. I trust that that you are ready to receive, because Holy Spirit is here and He's ready to give. So the more you're willing to receive, the more you will receive, because you get what you expect when it comes to God. You get as much as you expect, and you get as little as you expect as well. Unfortunately, that's also true. So I trust that we're going to have a great time today. This is the best place that you could be today. And I mean, we even made it 10 o'clock so you could sleep in a bit, so it's not that bad. If you missed last night, you really missed out, and I would just encourage you to get the teaching. Make sure that you get your hands on that. It was really an awesome time. We had 8 people come up just to receive baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was a great, powerful time, ministry time, encountering the love of God. Who of you know that the love of God is tangible? You can actually experience it. It's not just magical. It's not just pie in the sky. It's actually for us. It's for right now. What Shane shared last night on the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is freedom. You will never live in true freedom, and that's the freedom conference that you're at today, that we're at today. You won't live in true freedom without Holy Spirit. It's impossible. You will not be able to live in the fullness that God has for you and the freedom that He paid for you if you do it without Holy Spirit. But if you have Holy Spirit, there's 2 encounters. And this is also something that not everyone knows. There's 2 encounters with Holy Spirit, at least, for you. The first one is in Ephesians 1:13. It means that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit seals you. He protects you, and He makes sure that you stay saved. Okay. That's good news. You must look better than that. If you get saved, you ensured that you stay saved no matter what you do, because Holy Spirit seals you. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, that after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of promise because He was promised to us. So if you don't have Him, you're not living in the promises of God, because God promised that you can have Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you today, if you're not living with that, just hear the word, which will be a great word. It's going to be a gospel word that you'll receive today. Believe, receive your salvation, and receive the Holy Spirit of promise. But then there's also a second encounter with Holy Spirit. There's the baptism in the Spirit. So there's the encounter with Holy Spirit at your salvation, at your conversion. When you get born again, you become a spirit being. So who of you know that you need a spirit to become a spirit being? And that's where Holy Spirit comes in. So your new man is a spirit man. But then there's also an empowerment. So Jesus said in Acts 1:8, He says, "But you shall receive power." Say after me, power. Power. Who's ready for some power? I want some power. Huh? I want the ability of God. That's the Greek word there. It's dunamis. It's the ability of God. And we hear that and we move on. But I want to just pause there for a moment. What did Jesus say? You will have the ability of God. I'm going to say that again. You will have the ability of God. There is no bigger ability available in this universe than the ability of God. When do you get the ability of God? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Okay, so I want the ability of God. Who wants the ability of God? What do you do to get the ability of God? Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's all. That's easy. I don't know about you, but that's easy. That's easy. If you look at some movies, think about superhero movies, think about 007 type of movies, people will do very many evil things to get power, to get ability, to get influence. Because what they don't know is that Holy Spirit is freely available. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, if you receive Christ into your heart, and then you receive Holy Spirit, you don't need to do any evil things to have the ability, the power of God. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to challenge you today that you have the ability, if you have Holy Spirit, to go into the uttermost part of the earth. When we had Freedom Night in Solaris Pass, we called out people there who are called to minister the gospel in the world. We are called to minister it in our areas, but we are also called to minister it out there. And you can always come back, and you can come back home, and we'll nurture you, we will encourage you, we'll build you up, we'll train you, and then we'll send you out again. But if you have Holy Spirit, don't look at your bank account, because with Holy Spirit, you have the ability to go unto the uttermost part of the world. Don't look at your bank account. Look at what is inside of you. The power of God is bigger than your bank account. Last night we spoke about thirst and hunger. And Shane said that you don't need to thirst for God if you have the Holy Spirit, because you have all of it inside of you. You just need to draw it out. So there's a movement in Christianity where we thirst for God and we cry out for God and we hunger for God and we want more of God. And it's only because we don't realize that we have all of it already inside of us. Now, if you don't baptize in the Spirit, and we'll look at that in a moment, then you won't know that you have all of that, and you also won't have all the empowering. Because Jesus said this to people who were born again, go and wait. Why wait? Because you'll receive power. Why do you need power? Because you're going to be witnesses. Where are you going to be witnesses? At home, in your province, in your country, on your continent, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So, we're going to look at thirst and hunger, and what really blessed me last night was, just during worship, I just started highlighting scriptures on thirst. And I had no idea what Shane is going to share on. And then he opens up with, we don't need to thirst for God. I was like, wow, okay. This Holy Spirit thing is quite cool. Because he shows you things to come. That's one of the other gifts that he has for us. He shows you things to come. Because you can draw from the Holy Spirit waters that is inside of you. He shows you things to come only if you want to see them. Only if you ask and only if you listen, only if you hear. So he shows you things to come. John 10 says that the sheep hear the voice. They know the voice of the shepherd, but are they listening to the voice of the shepherd? And Holy Spirit helps us to tune in and to receive and to hear what our Father has for us. John 7:38 says that he that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So Jesus says, if you believe on me, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That is exciting because that says that you never need to thirst again. You only need to drink. You never need to go look for water. You never need to go look for more of God because it's inside of you. And it's so much inside of you that it overflows. It overflows into your family. It overflows into your relationships. It overflows into your workplace. And we're influencing the world with the goodness of God because the Holy Spirit inside of us, if we stir it up, if we move it, if we focus on it, and if we draw from it, there's enough for everyone. There's more than enough for everyone. It blessed me even more, as I said, because I was highlighting scriptures on thirst and well and how people in the Bible, there's many encounters with God and with certain things, where life-changing things happened at water wells. There's many life-changing encounters at water wells. The one we looked at last night is the woman of Samaria, where Jesus says, I perceive that the husband that you're living with now is not your husband. That there's things happening in your life, and she says, oh, I see that you're a prophet. And she goes back to her town, and the town changes. The life changes. The generation changes. Her life changes, because there's an encounter with Jesus at a water well. And I want to take you on an encounter like that this morning. Genesis 24, we're going to go straight into the Old Testament. And we're going to look at how Isaac found his wife. Now, Genesis 24 from verse 1, Abram lived to be a very old man. I claim that. I'm going to be a very old man. Who's with me? I'm not going to die young. There's much to do. There's much power. There's much ability. Woman, that's for you too. Abram lived to be a very old man. We have the promises of Abraham. So don't let anything tell you that you need to die young. We have the promises of Abraham. Abraham lived to be a very old man. And the Lord blessed him and everything he did. Just want to pause there quickly and just comment on that. God blesses you, but he also blesses what you do. That means you don't need to do anything to be blessed. But when you do things, you are blessed. And what you do is also blessed. Abraham's oldest servant was in charge of everything he owned. Abraham called that servant to him and said, put your hand under my leg. Now I want you to make a promise to me. Promise to me before the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry a girl from Canaan. We live among these people, but don't let them marry a Canaanite girl. Go back to my country, to my own people, to find a wife for my son Isaac. Bring her here to him. So Abraham calls his servant and he says, my son needs a wife and I don't want him to have a Canaanite wife. I want him to have an Israelite wife, but we're not living amongst our people. So go into my people and bring me a wife for my son. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Not if you're the servant. Maybe if you're Isaac, that sounds easy because your wife arrives on a plate. But if you're the servant, this is a big, big thing for you. This is a big responsibility. So from verse 10, it says, the servant took 10 of Abraham's camels and left that place. The servant carried with him many different kinds of beautiful gifts. Just note that. We'll come back to it later. And he went to Mesopotamia to Nahor's city. So the servant goes and he takes 10 camels and he takes lots of beautiful gifts because he's going looking for a wife. And I will say to him, verse 14, I will say to one of them, so he's speaking to himself now, the servant, because he's like, this is a big thing. Please put your jar down so that I can drink. Let her answer show whether she is one that you have chosen for the servant Isaac. If she says, drink, and I will also give water to your camels, I will know that she is the right one. It will be proof that you have shown kindness to my master. So the servant comes up with a plan, and the plan is he's going to the water well, and he's going to ask a beautiful young girl if he can have a drink of water, because this is the time where all the beautiful girls come. Maybe they're not all beautiful, but all the girls come. And they draw water for their household, for the animals, and for their livelihood. So he has a plan, and he says, God, I'm making a deal with you. So I'm going to ask one of the girls, and if she says, yes, I'll give you water, but I'll also give your camels water, then she's the one. Now, why this is significant, 10 camels, each drinking up to 135 liters. So it's 1,350 liters of water. And remember, this girl is carrying the jug on her shoulder. So it's not a very big jug, meaning it's a big job. It's a big commitment. And he's not going to ask for it. It's just going to become that she says, I will do it. So verse 17, then the servant ran to her and said, please give me a little water. So he sees this girl coming and he's asking her, give me a little drink of water from your jar. So Rebecca quickly lowered the jar from her shoulder and gave him a drink. She said, drink this, sir. As soon as she finished giving him something to drink, Rebecca said, I will also pour out some water for your camels. So Rebecca quickly poured out all the water from her jar into the drinking trough for the camels. Then she ran to the well to get more water, and she gave water to all the camels. Okay, so that's the Old Testament story that we're going to look at today. And as I said, great things happen at water wells. And the great thing about the New Testament is the water well is now inside of us, because out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's the words of Jesus. So, was there enough water for the servant? Yes, there was. Was there enough water for the camels? Yes, there was. Now, what is the significance of camels? Camels is the ones doing work. So, sometimes in life we feel like maybe there's enough for me with God, but there's not enough for everyone I need to take care of. There's not enough for me at my workplace of God. Maybe God is there on a Sunday, and on a Sunday I feel stirred up, but when I get to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then I feel like, maybe God is inside of me, but He's definitely not inside of all the people at work. And that might be true, but I want to encourage you today that what is inside of you is enough for you, and is enough for everyone around you. It's enough for all the hurt, for all the pain, for all the brokenness in the world. What is inside of us, if we get to stir it out, if we pull out of this water well, if we pull out of this living water, the Holy Spirit inside of us, the power of God, the glory of Christ inside of us, there's enough for everyone. 10 is also a number of completeness, meaning there's enough for every single need. There's a completeness factor in the number 10. 10 says 10 out of 10, you can't do better than that. So God says there's enough water for my servant, but there's enough water for 10 camels. For every need in this world, there's enough. As I said, that's 1,350 liters of water. A little young girl with one jug were able to feed 10 camels with water. Now in this story, who do you think you are? Where do you fit in? Because the Old Testament is type and shadows. So we can go and learn out of those stories and see, where do we fit in? How does it work? I want to start with good news. You're not the camel. Okay, let's start there. There's 10 camels. That's the needs. That's the work that needs to be done. But that's not you. That's not a person. It's an animal. In this story, you are not the servant. Because we're not called the servants of God. We're called the sons and the daughters of Him. In this story, I want you to see yourself as Rebecca, the bride-to-be of the son of the master. And there's a servant sent to come and draw you home, draw you into the family, make you come part of the family, come and marry the son, the rich son, the young son, the handsome son, the one that has everything for you, the one that wants to take care of you, the one that will give his life for you. And the servant is Holy Spirit, and the servant is sent out so that you can get to know the family of God. So that you can be drawn in into the family. And he comes with 10 camels and many beautiful gifts. And who are the gifts for? It's for you. The gifts are for you. Holy Spirit brings gifts. Why? For you. And then for those around you, because there's more than enough. 10 camels can carry a lot of gifts. They can drink a lot of water, yes, but they can also carry a lot of gifts. And all those gifts are for you. Because Holy Spirit brings gifts into the body, because the body not only needs those gifts, but He wants to bless them. He wants to just give you more than what you need. And He wants the world to look at you and say, why are your eyes glittering with hope? If whatever happens in the news, happens in the news. I'm not clear, really, because I don't bother. Why are you different, Karlu? Because I have Holy Spirit inside of me. Christ inside of me is the hope of glory. And I've got gifts. I know what is to come. I know how much He loves me. I have words of prophecy. I have words of knowledge. I have the ability of God. Yes, I can read the news, but I have the ability of God, so I don't bother. Because what is inside of me is so much greater. And I have gifts. Because there's a servant that was sent, and he was sent for one reason, is to bring the wife to the son. To draw you into the family. So that the son can love you with all the love that he has. So that the father can take care of you and bring you into the home. And say, now my son and my daughter, this is where you stay. This is what you eat. This is what you drink. This is where you are. And you will be blessed. Not only you and the person, but what you do. If you want to, that will also be blessed. So guess what? Out of that place, it's a healthy place. We stirred up. Out of our bellies flow rivers of living water, and there's more than enough. There's more than enough for the camels. There's more than enough for every need out there. Because Holy Spirit says, I am what you need. The Holy Spirit, the servant, challenges your capacity to show you the capabilities that is inside of you. Remember, you're Rebecca, and she did quite some work. She never, I think, before that day, pulled out that much water out of that well. But as she did the first one, and the second one, and the first camel, and the second camel, and the third camel, she's like, wow, something is different today. I have a different ability. I'm operating in a different power. It is actually effortless. Because why? I have the ability of God. The supernatural ability, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, but He wants you to challenge your capacity to love the world, to change the world, to impact the world, to step out with a word of knowledge, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to speak a word of life into a dire situation. So today, challenge your capacity, because everything is inside of you if you have Holy Spirit. If you don't have Him yet, we'll sort that out afterwards, because you need this. I think by now you realize this. If we're going to change the world, we're going to have to do it with Holy Spirit on our sides. You have to stir up what is inside of you. You have to draw from your own well. You have to draw from that well. But that well is for free. It's inside of you. The question then is, do you know what is inside of you? Do you know the endless capabilities, the abilities of God that is inside of you today? Do you realize that, and do we live like that? And this is not a condemning message at all. This is just an exciting stirring up. Do we realize what we have? And every day we grow more and more in what we have. And the more we look into the Word, we realize more and more of what we have. And it becomes our reality. And we live in godly realities. Some people say in Eden-like atmospheres. Because where God is, there's enough. Where God is, there's no sacrifice, because Jesus was the sacrifice. Where God is, we can serve, but we co-labor with Christ. God is not on His throne and, are you going to do the work, Etienne, please? No. He's co-laboring there. He's already in the field. And we take hands with Him, and then we see the world change. We see people impacted by the love of God. Do you know not only what is inside of you, but do you know who is inside of you? Do you know who is inside of you? Christ inside of you, the hope of glory. The world out there is looking for glory. They're looking for hope. They're looking for many things, and they're looking for it in all the wrong places because they're not looking inside of them.
Invite Christ into your life and then realize what is inside of you, because that is the hope of glory that this world so desperately needs. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is like? The only way to find out is to look into the Word. Holy Spirit, for some people, is a scary ghost. For some people, it's a charismatic thing that we don't touch. No, my parents said we don't go there. For some people, it's just like, no, thank you, not for me. For some people, I've heard this, God, yeah, there's a God. But He's up there, and I'm sure He's definitely not bothered with us. That's 100% a lie. God is so bothered with you that He created you. He is so bothered with you that He created this very earth, this very ground on which we stand and sit today. He is so bothered with you that He created the stars, that He created the sun in the universe for you. Why? Because He has gifts, and His Son needs a wife. And His Son wants a wife, and His Son wants you to be part of the family. Let's look at Holy Spirit. Let's look at who He is, what He's like. John 16 from verse 7, it's Jesus speaking. And Jesus, like He has to, but He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It is advantageous to you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." So Jesus says, "I'm going to go away." And I'm sure Peter is like, "End up." And Jesus, look, just wait. Just wait. It's better that I go away. And you're like, no. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, I just said, I am the truth. I'm speaking the truth. Listen. It is better that I go away. It's advantageous to you. How beautiful is that? Jesus was willing to step away from us in the physical to give us what was better for us. Not for Him. Some people say that He was drawn up to heaven because He didn't want to leave us. The Father had to come and like, "I want you back home now." Because Jesus is drawn to His bride. He's excited to be with His bride. When Natasha and I dated before we got married, I didn't want to leave her. And I didn't want to be away from her. Now still, I want to be with her. I don't want to be away from her. So someone needs to almost drag me away, like the Father had to almost say, "Jesus, it's not yet, it's coming." But Jesus says, "Okay, because it's better for them, I will go away. Because if I go away, I will send the Comforter unto him." Not the accuser, the Comforter. Not the condemner, the Comforter. Not the one that's going to show you everything you do wrong. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. It's called the Comforter. And I'm sure today there's people here, some of you, some of us, we need comforting. We need comforting because what happened this week, we don't know what's going to happen on Monday. Maybe the bank account, maybe sickness, maybe family, maybe relationships. Holy Spirit is here today. He's here now, not later. He's here now to comfort you. He is so much comforting that they call Him the Comforter. The Bible calls Jesus Christ the righteous because He is so right with God that becomes His very being, His very identity. Holy Spirit is so comforting that that becomes who He is. That's what they call Him. That's what we can call Him. Verse 8 says, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." They're like, okay, whoops, I knew that was there. Holy Spirit and sin, I mean, they go together. He's got a little bell. And every time you do something wrong, He's like, "Tick, tick. I told you. Let's read on. The first word there is reprove, and it means to convict or bring to expose. He reproves the world of sin, verse 9, because they believe not on me. Who here believes on Jesus? Guess what? That scripture is not for you. Guess what? Sin is dealt with. Sin is done with in your life, because sin is an identity. It's not a verb. It's not what you do. It's a noun. So the moment that you believe in Christ, you are no longer a sinner because Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. He convicts them of their identity. Like, listen, you need to believe in the Son of God. You don't know what you're missing out on. He's actually on his knees, I think, like, "Will you marry the Son of God? Will you marry the Son of God?" If you say yes, you come in. If you say no, you don't come in. It's not God that is a harsh God. The sin of the world is the unbelief in Christ. That is the only sin that the Holy Spirit is ever involved with. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Who agrees that Jesus is in heaven with his Father and we don't see him in his physical body? Okay, every one of you that lifted your hand means that you are righteous according to that scripture. And Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is here to constantly remind you that you are right with God. Do you see Jesus around? No. Where is he? He's with the Father. What does that mean? I'm righteous. No, but I don't feel like righteous. You are righteous. Because why? Because where's Jesus? He's with the Father. What does that mean? He died for your sins. See, that is the work of Holy Spirit. And out of that place, we can seek first the kingdom, as that song that we sang, but we can also seek first his righteousness. Because the Holy Spirit's very job is to reprove the world of sin, but to reprove you of your righteousness. So you don't seek the righteousness of yourself, you seek the righteousness of Jesus that is inside of you. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Yes, Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has got to do with sin, he's got to do with righteousness, and he's got to do with judgment, but not in the way the world portrays it. The only thing that he has to do with judgment is to say, listen, Chesme, remember, the prince of this world is judged. Listen, Greta, don't judge yourself, because the only judgment is for the prince of this world. Because you are the daughter of God. You are changed. You impacted. You are righteous. Because the servant came and he came with gifts. And he came to show you what is inside of you. And to draw out the beauty of Christ inside of you. The hope of glory that this world so desperately longs for. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Hallelujah. I mean, that is such great news. The prince of this world is judged. He's condemned. And Shane would say he's a toothless pussycat. He's a pushover. That is great news. That means that our adversary, the devil, has been judged. And Holy Spirit is constantly reminding you of that. Don't give him ground. Don't give him footing. Don't listen to him. He's judged. And then, verse 12, Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? Why does Jesus say that to his disciples in that moment? Why cannot they bear what he wants to say to them? Because he is still there and the Comforter has not yet come. We are on the other side of that today. Today, Jesus wants to share everything with you. He's telling you everything. God is not hiding anything. God is not hiding mighty wisdoms. The word says in James, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask. If you need more, ask. God will give it to you. God is not mysterious and super mystical and hiding in a corner and playing hide and seek with you. He wants to be found, actually. He actually sent his servant to come help looking for you if you're not looking for him. The word says that Jesus stands at your heart and he knocks. Sometimes we have it the other way around. We feel like we're in heaven knocking and trying to get into God's house. He says, I'm in the throne room of grace. That's where I am. And guess what? The door is open. Why don't you just come in? But if we go look at judgment, on the throne of judgment, he's not there. If we're going to go look at the throne of condemnation, he's not there. If we're going to go look at the throne of religion, he's not there. If you're going to go look for God on the throne of everything you need to do for him, he's not there. Because he's seated at the throne of grace. And guess what? Ephesians 2:6 says that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is your true reality. Yes, we get to play and be part of an adventure here on earth to change the world and to draw them into that reality. But that is your reality. And Holy Spirit is there to convict you, convince you, reprove you that you are not part of sin because you're not part of the world if you believe in Christ. That you are righteous because he has gone to the Father and you don't see him anymore. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 13, and I'm closing. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I don't know about you, but before I had Holy Spirit baptized in the Holy Spirit, this Bible was very boring. It was very contradicting. It was very much a have to, not a want to. But since I've been baptized in the Spirit, I start digging for gold. I start linking things. He shows me. He leads me on a journey. And I feel sometimes like a travel guide. Because you know what's around this corner, this mighty waterfall of grace. And as you read And it's like Holy Spirit is taking you there one step, next step. But he's like so excited because he's going to show Etienne now how good God is in this scripture. He's going to show you in this picture how beautiful the bride of Christ is. And guess what? Around the next corner, he's going to say, will you marry me? Because that is how he leads you into the truth. He leads you into all truth because there's so much more. The Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. That means you cannot find all truth without the guide. And some people don't like that. Religious people don't like that because they want to do it by themselves. That's why some denominations don't have the truth, because they're not led by the guide. And they're not wanting to be led by the guide that leads into all truth. But if you have the guide, you can find all truth. Why don't you just stand with me? We're going to just celebrate Holy Spirit together. And Luke 4:18, and it's my closing scripture. Jesus speaks about the Spirit, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. He's empowered me. He's bringing something to me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor, the good news. And that's not only to the poor with bank accounts, but if you don't have the gospel, you are poor spiritually and you're a poor human being because you're always lacking. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. So today, if you have that broken heart, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is right here to heal that for you. He's here to preach deliverance to the captives, to mean that you can walk out of that prison right now. Whether it's sickness, whether it's a relationship that's just bruising you, that's just hurting you. He's come to recover the sight to the blind. So maybe today you've, for the first time, seen Holy Spirit as a comforter. And that is because he came to recover your sight, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So thank you, Father, just for Holy Spirit. Thank you, Comforter, that you are here right now and that you're just ministering to people right now. That you're just enjoying spending time with us, and yeah, that you're just convicting and reproving us that we are not sinners, that we are righteous, that we are not judged, but that the prince of this world has been judged. Thank you that you bring us gifts and that we can see those gifts operate in the body, that there's gifts for each and every one. There's no one that doesn't get a gift from God. There's gifts for everyone, because there's 10 camels, which is a completeness. And there's more inside of us, Father, that we never realize. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you're just showing people right now destiny. You're showing them the purposes of God on their lives. You're showing them the call of God to be sons and daughters of a living Father, of a God Almighty, King of the universe, that we can start up to rise as the body of Christ, that you have called us to be empowered by Holy Spirit, full of glory, full of hope, full of life. Because what is inside of us is so much more than the need out there. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're just challenging our capacity to draw it out and to move forward in the things of God.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.